Well, I trusted Christ when I was 19. I never went to church but a couple of times. And then I remember going to church, and back, it was in those days, which hadn't been that long ago, they had hymnals. Everybody used hymnals. It's been longer than we like to think. But everybody had these hymnals. And I can remember the song that we'd say, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be." And so people say, "Oh yeah, when you go to heaven." In fact, sometimes people, when share their faith, they say, "Will you go to heaven when you die?" So on your sheet, I really have two questions for us in a sense. Where is heaven and what will we do? Because where is heaven? I mean, is there a heaven in a sense that we'll spend eternity like in clouds somewhere? I mean, that's kind of the picture that you have of heaven. What is it like? What will it be like? And then what will we do all that time? I've even had a person say to me, not that I don't want to go to heaven, but it seems to me that it'd be fairly boring sitting around for eternity. You know, just with nothing to do. You know, well, we'll see. That's the two questions we start with. Where is heaven and what will we do? Let's start with, we have them right there. Yeah. Let's start with where is heaven. Okay. When we talk about heaven, it's not in the clouds. It's not sitting with, wings somewhere looking like an angel. You know, there's this idea that people are going to become angels, or that's what they think. They say, they're going to have wings and all that. Your Clarence Oddbody is trying to get you wings, and it's a wonderful life, or you're an angel. And you're not an angel. Angels and human beings are two different things. They're two different kind of beings. Angelic beings are spirit beings created by God to be His messengers and His servants. Human beings are created by God to have an eternal relationship. That's the plan, an eternal relationship with God. But because of sin, there are going to be some people eternally separated from God. The lake of fire was created for the devil and his angels, rebellious angels. So the lake of fire, which is eternal separation from God, was originally created for the angels who rebelled against God. But when man rebels and man does nothing about it, doesn't believe in the Messiah, he's going to be separated forever. So where is this heaven? Heaven really is on earth. Now let me tell you something. Right now, Jesus is in the heavenly places. That's how the Bible describes it. In fact, it's always plural, the heavens, not just the heaven. Most believe that Paul writes over in 2 Corinthians, he said, "I was caught up in he knew a man that was caught up in the what? Third heaven." So if there's a third heaven, there's probably a what? Second heaven and probably a first heaven. So people say, what in the world is the first heaven, second heaven? Most believe that the first heaven is the atmosphere, the second heaven is the abode of the angels, and the third heaven is where God lives. That's what some have said. Now, when we talk about going to heaven, if you were to die right this second, your body would go in the ground. To be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. Where is Jesus Christ? He's seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father in the heavenly places. When we think about dying and going to heaven, that's what people think of. But for all eternity, that's not where you're going to be. You're not going to be sitting by the throne in the heavenly places. Because what we know is that when Jesus Christ leaves the glories of heaven, he left the first time to become a human being, died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again, seated at the right hand of the Father until it's time for him to return as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When he comes back a second time to this earth, where is he coming? To Jerusalem. And he's going to set up a kingdom, and that kingdom will last for how long? 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20 verses 1 through 7 says it 7 times that he will rule for 1,000 years. Well, if he's ruling as the king for 1,000 years, where are you going to be? Where? On this earth. The first 1,000 years of what you might call your eternal existence is not in the clouds. It's on this earth. This earth. Now, you're going to have the greatest king of all ruling in righteousness and justice and power and majesty. Psalm 2 says he'll rule with a rod of iron. So he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Now, if you remember that at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, there's a little rebellion. Jesus deals with all the unbelievers. There is the great white throne judgment, in which there's a separation. Anyone's name, they're at the great white throne judgment. Anybody's name not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. When the great white throne judgment is over, he will take this heavens and earth, and he'll make a new what? Heavens and earth. And then there will be a new city called New Jerusalem coming down out of what? the heavens coming to this earth. The best that we can tell in Revelation chapters 21 and 22, that it doesn't appear that this city, which is 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles high, when it comes down out of the heavens, it doesn't appear that it actually comes and lands on the earth. It almost appears that it's floating a little bit off the ground somehow. And we live, I think that's the place that he's gone to prepare for us. He says, in my Father's house there are many what? Rooms. I've gone to prepare a place for you, and I'll come and get you. And for all eternity, there will be the new what? The new heavens and the new earth, and we live in the new Jerusalem. So when people say, you know, if you're going to go to heaven, will it be sitting on the clouds? No, it'll be on a new earth in a new city called the new Jerusalem. So read Revelation chapters 21 and 22, and you'll get an idea. There's a city, and it's got the foundations and the gates. Each gate is made out of a giant what? Pearl. That's why people always say, pearly gates. Well, there's a big pearl there. That's pretty big. Pretty big. And the foundations. So that's where heaven, what we'd say heaven eternally, is going to be on a new earth. And so if you've had a conception that, okay, one day I die, I go to be with the Lord, and then from all eternity, I'm sort of just kind of floating around with nothing to do. No. There'll be a time on this earth for 1,000 years, on this earth, and then a new heavens and a new earth, and you will live for all eternity with Jesus Christ in the New Jerusalem. Second big question we have is, what will we do? What will we do? Well, Revelation chapter 22, let me just read this for you for just a second. Revelation chapter 22, verse 3 says, there will be no longer any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be there, and his bondservants, and we are his servants, will serve him. What will you do forever and ever? In the New Jerusalem with the Messiah sitting on the throne, it says there will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will what? Serve him. What will you do for all eternity? Serve him. You're not going to be sitting around. You're going to be serving. Now, what is the basis of your service for Christ for all eternity? Your faithfulness when? Now. Your faithfulness now. Well, we saw the parable last time in the lab where he says, well done, good and faithful servant, inherit these what? 10 cities, or take over this. We find that we said that the rewards seem to be either sometimes called crowns, sometimes called treasures. Sometimes it's just referred to as ruling with Christ. See, he's the king, and he's going to let you rule with him. Now, not everybody's going to rule with him. Everybody's in the kingdom that knows Christ as Savior. You enter the kingdom by faith. You inherit the kingdom by your faithfulness. They're two different things. And so when you say, what will I do for all eternity? You will serve Jesus Christ, and you will serve him and have places of responsibility and have treasure and rewards and rule with Christ based on your service now. That's why we said in 1 John 2, it says you could be ashamed at his coming. Or it also says in other places that you want to hear him say, well done, good and what? Faithful. That is the key. So that's what we talked about. So when we look at this, and I'm going to stop for any questions or comments or input or anything. But I mean, it's a little bit hard. Where's heaven? Ultimately, heaven, what we'd say, heaven or going to heaven or going to be with Jesus forever, is on a new heavens and a new earth. For all eternity. And then what will we do for all eternity? We will serve him. We'll be with him. And you know, we talked last week about the partnership and being partners with him and being close to him. And there are some who serve him now, they'll be close to him. There are some who don't serve him now, they won't have that closeness. Now, it doesn't mean they won't be happy or anything like that, because we're talking about eternal. There's no sin. The sin nature of a person, the flesh, is gone. There won't be jealousy or rebellion or anything like that. It'll be an eternal state with Jesus Christ. But some will have different places of responsibility than others. Okay, questions, comments. Does this make any sense? Yeah, JJ. Okay. You may get to take the garbage out. Okay. Well, J.J., when I think serving the king, I'm not sure what all that implies. It may mean that he gives you a place of responsibility over certain areas, certain cities, certain who knows? It just means you're going to have a place of responsibility to rule with him is a key. I mean, that's one of the things you want to do. You want to rule with him, and that appears that you have places of responsibility over others. Serving him could be anything. It could, of course, we know this. Serving Jesus Christ, we'd do anything he wanted us to do. It doesn't make any difference. We just want to be close to him. Does that help any? Because, I mean, I think all of those things will happen. What will the world be like for all eternity? I don't really know. We're going to have bodies that will not decay, incorruptible bodies that will last forever. See, he has to give us these glorified bodies because we're going to be with him forever. We're going to have a body that will last forever because he has a body that lasts forever. See, remember this, and I'm just going to throw this out just to remind you. Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, for all eternity up to a point in time in history, are spirit beings. The Holy Spirit, John 4, God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So the Father and the Spirit are spirit beings. Jesus Christ was a spirit being until a point in time in history when he left the glories of heaven and took on the form, a person. He took on a body. A human body. Jesus Christ is the God-man. It's called the hypostatic union, the union of deity and humanity at one time. It's the most unique thing there is. Jesus Christ has a human body. When he died on the cross, the body was put in the tomb. Soul and spirit of Jesus went to be with the Father. He went to the heart of the earth for a while, did some things. We'll have to talk about this another time. But when the body was raised, it's a body. It's a glorified body that will never decay. He ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, will come back and rule forever. We're going to have a body like his. Philippians 4 says, we wait from heaven as we look for the return of our Savior who will change this body into a glorious body like his. We're going to have a body that will never decay. And it's going to be forever. So the reason, he said, when people always talk about, well, resurrection is of the spirit. No, resurrection is always of the body. Always of the body. That's why when Paul was on Mars Hill and he talked about resurrection, they made fun of him. They called him a seed picker. That meant, you're just coming up with all this stuff. That's what they were saying to him because he was talking about resurrection. See, that philosophy believed that the soul went on forever. They didn't believe the body did. Paul was teaching that the body will be raised and go on forever. So that's the difference. So when we talk about heaven, And spending eternity with Jesus, you're going to have to be suited to spend eternity with him. That's why when you die or when he comes back in the clouds, you will be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, and you'll have a body that will never wear out. All the bodies will be tall. They'll all have hair. It'll be amazing. Yeah. I don't know what that is. I'm hoping. Isn't that called the blessed hope? Anyway, no. That is true. It's going to be amazing. Yes, Bonita.
Back to this thousand-year
reign.
Okay. What are we doing here for 1,000 years? And I live in America. I mean, how am I going to get to Jerusalem? He's going to take me over there. There will be no more America. There will be only Jerusalem. I mean, I'm just a dummy here. I just need some help.
Thank you for the question, Bonita. No, it's a really good question. In the 1,000-year reign of Christ, he's ruling from Jerusalem because the prophecy and fulfillment of the prophecy is the greater son of David will sit on the throne of Jerusalem. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's not only King of the nation of Israel, but he's the King of the whole world. So the capital of the whole world will be in Jerusalem during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. There will be the rest of this earth just like it is now. It may be different. The countries may not be the same. Who knows how that's going to be? But you will live somewhere in this world. Most likely, we live where we want to live. Wherever that is. And he may say to you, you have been faithful. I want you to oversee this region for me or this town for me or this part for me. Wherever, whatever he assigns us to do.
Will people marry and will they have children and will they go ahead with a life like we know now? Or are we going to just be wandering around here, you know, doing those odd jobs like
doing the odd jobs. JJ, could you get the trash? But anyway, well, it's the most unique question she just asked because when you look at the Bible and you talk about the 1,000-year reign of Christ, we know that before all of that happens, Jesus Christ comes in the clouds and the church, the body of Christ, the believers are taken off the face of the earth. And in the moment of the twinkle of an eye, we're changed. We're going to have those bodies right then. Meanwhile, on the earth, there's a tribulation time period, Antichrist, all of that things. At the very end of that, Jesus Christ comes back and basically removes the Antichrist from puts him in the lake of fire, takes Satan and bounds him for 1,000 years. That's during the kingdom. But there will be human beings who believe in Jesus during the tribulation, and they make it through the tribulation without dying physically. They go into the kingdom. This is going to sound weird. You just have to trust me because we don't have time to look it up. It's Revelation. But anyway, they'll go into the kingdom with regular bodies. We will come back with Jesus, and we will have glorified bodies. The Old Testament saints who've died, Daniel 12 verses 1 and 2, say they will be raised, have glorified bodies to go into the kingdom. So there will be the Old Testament saints. There will be the church, the body of Christ. All of these people will be raised and have glorified bodies, and we will go into that 1,000 years that way. Glorified bodies neither marry or given in marriage. That's what Jesus said. There will be people who lived through the tribulation who have regular bodies. They will go into that kingdom, and during that 1,000 years, they will marry and have children, produce offspring, and live. We know that. We know that because at the very end of the tribulation, at the very end of the kingdom, Satan is loosed, and there is a rebellion, and there are a number of unbelievers who rise up with Satan. This is and try to deal with Jesus, and he has to put them to death. Where do those unbelievers come from? Because everyone entering the kingdom is a believer. Glorified bodies, Old Testament, glorified bodies, New Testament, and the people with regular bodies, they're believers. But some of their offspring during the 1,000 years will be born and not believe. So it's going to be the weirdest. The kingdom's going to be weird because there'll be people with glorified bodies and people with regular bodies. There'll be people marrying and giving in marriage. There'll be people who won't be married. Let me get there and then there. Yes.
The great white throne judgment is when the rewards are given.
No. Great white throne judgment. Great white throne judgment, the best we can tell, is at the end of the 1,000-year reign, and it is not necessarily a rewarding stand. The word judgment there is not for rewarding. It is where the books are opened and anyone's name not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. The best that we can tell is all the unbelievers up to that point in time in all history are raised to stand there, and it shows their names are not found written in the book of life and they're cast into the lake of fire. The only we get rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, at the Bema seat. Oh, yeah, you will. Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, let me ask you this. When Peter and James and John went with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus changed and he looked like the king, like he's going to look, they show him in his glory. And who was there with him? Anybody remember? Who was it? Moses and Elijah. Peter looked over there, saw them, and said to Jesus, "Why don't we fix three little booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah?" Now, unless they had name tags on, he knew it was Moses and Elijah. And I think we will know who we are. I think we'll know.
Will the 1,000 years actually be 1,000 years, or is it like he says, 1,000 years to us is a day to him?
Well, I think in that passage in Peter where he says 1,000 years is a day, he's just trying to show that time, that Jesus deals outside time. I think when he says 1,000 years, he means 1,000 years because he says it 7 times. So I think the 1,000-year reign of Christ called the millennial kingdom will last for 1,000 years. Well, we're getting right into rewards, aren't we? It's just, well, that's what happens when you talk about heaven and where it's going to be and what it's going to be like. But any other questions? I mean, this is good stuff. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, no doubt about that. Yeah, you're exactly right. In fact, good point. If you look, we're going to go be in Revelation chapter 4 in just a minute, and that's one of the questions we're going to raise up. But what will we be doing as we serve him? Part of the aspect is praising him, worship him. We're gathered around the throne. Those who get close to the throne, all of that. I mean, there's no doubt about it that if Jesus appeared right here now, we'd all be on our faces, but what would we be doing? Praising and worship him. And let me tell you, you know the passage that says every knee will bow and every tongue. That's not talking about just believers. That's talking about even unbelievers. When the unbeliever stands before Jesus at the great white throne judgment, he will praise God for who he is. It's just too late because his name's not found written in the book of life. So great, great, great point. What else? Anything else? All right, with the time we got, let me do this. Here's the question that people bring up all the time, and I've got, I think it's right over here, I think. How long are these rewards, these treasures, and these crowns, and then what are they? How long is this? Because here's the thing. Haven't you heard that you're going to get crowns from God, which is your rewards, your treasures, your rule, and what are you going to do with those crowns? Aren't you going to what? Give them up, and you're going to put them where? At His feet, casting down our golden crowns, right? Well, that means we don't have rewards. How does that work? Well, I want you to see Revelation chapter 4. We're going to go. This is the question: is how long are these rewards? Okay, I don't know if there's another slide that goes with that or not. Yeah, how long are the rewards? Answer, by the way, they're eternal rewards. Let me show you something because people usually misread this. We've only got a few minutes, but let's look at it. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Look at verse 1. After these things. Now, this is John. If you remember, John was out. This is the same John that wrote the book of John and 1st and 2nd and 3rd John and now the book of Revelation. He was put on the island of Patmos, and it was on the Lord's day, which was the first day of the week. He was in the spirit, and all of a sudden he heard this thing behind him, and he looked behind him, and there was Jesus standing in the middle of these lampstands, and he just fainted and everything, and he talked to, and Jesus gave him this message to send to these seven churches, and then he was taken up into heaven to see what it was like. Look at verse 4. After these things, I look and behold a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, like the voice of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. He's saying, in the future, I'm going to show you what the future is like. So he took John. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he was sitting on the throne with like jasper stone and a sardis in appearance, and there was rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. So he's taken up. Verse 1 says, come up here. Verse 2 says, he saw one on the throne. And this God sitting on the throne, ruling. This is in heaven. Watch what he says. This is this eternal aspect. He's just given us this view. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Now, who is that? Nobody wants to say, do they? Anybody know? Who were the 24 elders? It says, around the throne, here's this throne, there are 24 thrones. Not 24 stools, not 24 little chairs, 24 what? Thrones. And what does a throne imply? Ruling. Okay, there's these 24 elders, 24 thrones. I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments. And what do they got on their head? Golden crowns. So let me ask you a question. Who is that?
Could it be the prophets and the apostles?
Could it be the apostles and prophets? Could it be, let me ask you this, could it be that these 24 elders represent us by this way, that 12 of those elders represent the 12 tribes of Israel, in which Jesus told his men that they would be ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel? And some say so 12 of the 24 elders represent the 12 tribes of Israel, and then the other 12 represent the what? The 12 apostles of the church. And so some say it's symbolic of Israel and the church coming together, and these are the elders, the leaders. Now some say, okay, that's going to be us. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't think we can exactly know who all these people are. It's elders, it calls them elders, they're sitting on thrones and they're ruling. But let's say, for the sake of argument, because everybody wants to say that's us, let's say that they represent us, the nation of Israel and the body of Christ, which has now come together for all eternity to worship God, right? Okay, so what happens? Look what we see there. I think, look at verse 8. Look what we see. And I think on our little slide here on verse 8, we've got four living creatures. Now look what verse 8 says. And there's these four living creatures around there. They're really powerful beings. One creature looks like a lion, another looks like a calf, another looks like a face of a man, the other looks like an eagle. They got all this stuff, and they're saying all these things. It says, and the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, they're full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say. Now notice what this says. Day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. How often do they do this? Do they ever stop doing this? No. Now, I'm going to go very quickly through this, and I will finish it next week as far as getting into more details. But notice what happens. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever. Now, when do they do that? Constantly. When they do that, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne saying, "Worthy are You, O Lord." When do the 24 elders cast their crowns down? When? Forever and ever and ever. It's symbolic. It's not you're going to take your crown if it's us. You're not going to take your crown, sit it there and go, "Thank you very much. I'll go wait outside." This is a picture of constant worship of the 24 elders, the four living creatures constantly saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And it says, as they are saying, "Holy, holy, holy," at the same time, constantly, the 24 elders are casting down their crowns. What's the whole picture of? We're going to be constantly what? Worshiping Him and recognizing that every crown and everything that we have comes from who? Comes from Him. It's not saying you're going to give your crown to Jesus and then there won't be any crowns. It's not saying that people will give up all their rewards. It's saying that an ongoing, whether, that's only if these 24 elders are us. We don't know who they are. But people have said, "Oh yeah, you're going to cast your crown before Jesus." Well, if you're one of the 24 elders, you will constantly cast your crown before Jesus. Because that's what it says, language-wise. Okay, so could it be that at this time the world is divided into 24 sections and these are rulers of the 24 sections? Could be. I don't know. It doesn't tell us who they are. Some historically people have said it represents the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles of the church, bringing together the church and the body, I mean the church and Israel, showing that they're eternally together. I really don't know, but one thing for sure. No matter what it's saying, it's not saying you are giving your crown up and you won't have any rewards. It's showing that whatever's happening, it's an ongoing worship and praise and adoration of the one who sits on the throne. That make sense? Yes. I think if you're used to worshiping Him now, you're right. Exactly, exactly. And if we, as we talked about at the end of the first service, you know, that God's in control of all things and we trust Him and worship Him and praise Him even in the things that come into our lives that are not good or that don't look good, we just have to trust Him. And so if we continually, even now, worship and praise Him and give Him the glory, then for sure, if we are represented by those 24 elders, there's going to be a constant, ongoing praise and adoration of Jesus Christ for all eternity. So, good stuff. I just wanted you to see that passage doesn't say you're going to sit your crown down and say, "Well, I don't have any rewards now. I just gave them back to Jesus." That's not what it says. So I wanted you to see that. Is that the second bill? Okay. All right. Well, what we'll do is we will next time look at the crowns. There are four places listed as crowns, and we'll see what they are and how they fit together, and then we'll put the whole thing together. And then there's one other verse that we may, hopefully, we'll get to next week. It's 2 Timothy 2:11-13. Sometime look at that and see what it says. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank You, Lord, that we can have some idea about the eternal state and the thousand-year reign and the new heavens and new earth and the new Jerusalem and the King on the throne. And we can have some ideas about what these 24 elders are. We just don't know, but we see that it is an ongoing adoration and praise as these four living creatures are praising. The 24 elders are doing the same thing, saying, "Worthy are You, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and because of Your will they existed and were created." Thank You, Lord. You are the all-powerful Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Provider, Protector. May we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, and may we be excited about serving You for all eternity. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.